Good morning. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we come before you now. We've worshiped you in song and in prayer, and we've heard your living word, your word that is just as alive now as it was thousands of years ago. And now, Lord, we pray that as you have placed a message on my heart, that I would deliver it, and it would be pleasing to you, and that your word would not come back empty to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, about 20 years ago, there was this young 18-wheel trucker from South Carolina that made his way up to the New Jersey area to deliver a large haul. As he went up to New Jersey, of course, it was during a time of no GPS. It was long before that. And if you've been to that region, you know that the interstate system up that way is winding and swirling and massive and twists and turns and layers of highways on top of highways, if you will. In fact, it's so massive that it makes our own I-20, I-26 that we lovingly call Malfunction Junction seem like back road driving, right? At any rate, he unloaded his haul, and by the time he did that night, it was late. He was tired. He was ready to get back on the road and get back to South Carolina. Well, as you can imagine, as he started his way back with these layers of highways, he could look up and he could see the green sign that told him this is the interchange he needed to get back on the highway to go to South Carolina. The problem was, as he circled around, he couldn't find his particular exit to that interchange. And so for over an hour, he kept going in a circle, in a loop. He could see it, but he couldn't get to it. Well, finally, toward the end of that hour or a little more, he kept noticing when he got back to where he started from, there was an old drifter leant up against a retaining wall just where he had begun. So finally, he got this idea, I'm going to pull my rig off and I'm going to ask him for some help. So he did. He got out of his truck and went back to this old drifter and he says, I'm sorry to bother you, sir, but I'm trying to get home. I can see this green sign. Look, see, that's the interchange that I need. Can you give me some help? Can you give me some direction in where I should go from here to get to that exchange? Well, the old drifter looked up, kind of with a sarcastic, reluctant look on his face, and he said to him, well, son, over this last hour, I've seen a number of your trucks go by about every 5 minutes. Won't you just get in the cab, wait, surely in a few minutes another one will come by and you can follow him on out. Not everyone we ask for wisdom can give us the right wisdom that we need. Amen? Amen? The drifter didn't have wisdom. What he had was his eyes seeing a truck go by, not realizing that it was the same guy. It leads us, as a moral to that story, to our first life hack, which is rely on the right source to get wisdom. It's about discernment, isn't it? Making sure that we're getting wisdom from the right source. Well, before my daddy died in 1989, he was my earthly go-to person for wisdom. Now, Daddy was a man of few words. Some of you might be old enough to remember a company called E.F. Hutton. They did financial planning. Now, when E.F. Hutton spoke, everybody stopped and listened because they knew wisdom was coming forth. Well, that was my daddy. He was a man of few words, unlike me, because I'm Miss Chatterbox and I can talk all the time. But Daddy you held on to every word that he had. And he so often had great wisdom to impart. I can remember sitting with him in the swing in the backyard. He would have his little tiny radio out there playing gospel songs. Sometimes we'd just sit and just, I would be in his presence and it was great. But other times I would pour out my heart to him, problems and issues and concerns from everyday life. It would seem like minutes before he would reply, but then he would. And here would come some nuggets of wisdom to me that I could take away and get back on the right road, the way that I should go. Have you ever found yourself doing the same route over and over and over again, just like that 18-wheel trucker did up around New Jersey, working against life instead of with it? Have you ever realized what you're doing is relying on your own wisdom, or maybe on culture, or maybe on somebody like the drifter that's looking with eyes but not good wisdom? This is what Proverbs says. Get wisdom. We continue our sermon series today entitled Life Hacks. Now, a life hack is a strategy or a technique adopted in order to manage your time and your daily activities in a more efficient way. And what we've been doing and continue to do is diving into the book of Proverbs to get wisdom so that we can stop making life harder than it has to be. Verse 1 in this passage that we just heard is a father passing on counsel from his own father down to his children. Verse 1 uses the term my sons, which suggests a parent rather than a professional teacher speaking here. Verse 2 goes on to say, I give you sound learning. Do not forsake my teaching. Wisdom, my friends, is knowledge applied. Wisdom is knowledge applied. We can read scriptures, we can read through the whole book of Proverbs, but still not apply all that wisdom, all that information to our daily lives. I love the way Psalm 25 reinforces this. Hear what it says. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. I love that phrase. My hope is in you all day long. Not just when I'm in a crisis like the trucker was, not when I'm down in the dumps, but every day, all day long, we can rely on our Lord God for wisdom. So we should fully rely on him, right? That means we do what verse 4 says, if you're following along. Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Friends, it's not about information. It's about transformation. Knowing what's right and living it out are two different things. I know in my head that God has the wisdom. I know that intellectually. And I know all I need to do is seek it. My head says yes, but my heart says no sometimes. How do I close that 12-inch gap from my head to my heart? Well, C.S. Lewis says this, and I quote, the heart never takes the place of the head, but it can and should obey it. Let me read that again. The heart never takes the place of the head, but it can and should obey it. It's really all about trust, isn't it? Imagine with me for a moment, because I'm a visual person, I want you to imagine that sitting right next to you is the Lord. And he reaches his arm around you and pulls you close, ever so close, just like a daddy, a father, would pull close his child. Hopefully you feel secure and overwhelmed with his love for you, if you imagine that. It could also be that this image causes you to feel uncomfortable and wish to push him away. Because somewhere in your heart, you don't really trust him, if you're honest with yourself. So has your head knowledge made it to your heart? I love what John Piper says. Jesus meant for truth in the head to wake up passion in our hearts. Jesus himself said this in John 8, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." There's freedom, my friends, in knowing that we can fully rely on God, that we can go to the scriptures, if you will, the passages from Jesus, and have that wisdom for ourselves. Verse 4 goes on to say, "Keep my commands and you will live." The instruction here is to lay this wisdom, these nuggets of scripture that we hear and learn from going deep into the Bible, lay them on our heart, just like a rich treasure, that when we need it, we can retrieve it and use it on all occasions, not just sometimes. Because the truth of the matter is, true wisdom happens when we are in obedience to it. Which leads to verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not swerve from my words. In other words, don't get sidetracked. And that's easy to do. And it's easy to do because we know that Satan, the evil one, will try his best to get you off track from God's will for you in his life, from God calling you to go deeper in the scriptures, to learn more about him. And he'll do it in ways where he'll focus your attention on somebody like the drifter, or some self-help book, or some situation in culture, or he'll just convince you in your own spirit that you can do it yourself. I've been guilty of it myself. Don't get sidetracked. Here's a question. Have you contributed to the inner turmoil that you're experiencing by focusing on things other than the Lord? Are you making life harder than it needs to be? Is your own ego getting in the way? Do you think you know it all anyway? And you don't need to learn anything new, or you've forgotten or pushed aside what you've learned from the past? Are you keeping the main thing the main thing, realizing that you don't know it all? Which leads to life hack number 2. True humility is staying teachable regardless of how much you already know. True humility is staying teachable regardless of how much you already know. It is possible, my friends, to grow rigid, to hold fast, almost like an iron fist, so certain that you're always right about everything. I've certainly had times like that. The year was 1846, and a would-be hero was a Hungarian doctor, and his name was Ignaz Semmelweis. He accidentally discovered that washing hands by a surgeon, including washing the instruments that the surgeon would use in his operation, would save lives from something called childbed fever. That not only women in childbirth got at that time, but other people would get it when they got sick in the hospital after a surgery. When he imposed this with his own staff, the rate of childbed fever dropped dramatically. Well, you'd think that everyone would be thrilled about this, right? Well, they weren't. In fact, the doctors who worked alongside him were upset because they thought his hypotheses made it look like they were the ones giving this childbed fever to the patients. They were unwilling to be teachable. They were not humble. Their egos got in the way. They were foolish. Eventually, his peers, the other doctors, gave up on the procedure of washing hands and Simelwise lost his job. Although he kept trying to convince the healthcare community of that time to take hand washing seriously, they just wouldn't listen to him. The sad end to his story is that he ended up with a mental condition that placed him in an asylum. And it is believed that he was beaten there. And he actually died of sepsis, an infection in his bloodstream, the same disease that he fought so hard to eradicate, to prevent women and others from dying. A mere 4 years later, hand washing became an embraced action, a common practice, if you will, in the hospitals of that time. And of course, we know that this day and time, not only do the surgeons wash their hands and stay sanitized, but all the medical staff are certainly encouraged to do so. And as pastor of congregational care, I go in and out of hospitals all the time. And many hospitals have the pumps on the outside of the room next to the door you're going into. And you're encouraged to pump and get that sanitizer on your hands, both going into the room as well as coming out. And this is for the health of the patient, but also for you too as a visitor, because you could pick up some germs as well. Proverbs 26:12 says this: "Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for them." The doctors who worked alongside Simelwise were wise in their own eyes. The doctors and their medical staff were holding on with an iron fist all that they knew, all that they believed in their time, and they were not open to be teachable and to learn something new, regardless of all that they knew anyway. How about us? I myself didn't realize how much I didn't know until in my 30s. Because you see, I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 12. I went through confirmation. I learned a lot about the Bible. And from about 12 years old until my early 30s, I really didn't dive into the scriptures. I really didn't have a hunger, if you will, to learn more and new things about God. And then I participated in something called Disciple One Bible Study. And Disciple One Bible Study took major themes all the way from Genesis through Revelation. And it opened up the Bible to me in new ways. In fact, I started seeing connections from the Old Testament to the New Testament in ways that I never had before. Although I had previously thought I knew it all, I came to the realization that the more I studied, the more I learned, the more I realized I didn't know, and the more I realized that God had something new to teach me. Where are we today? Do we have the humility to see that we are wrong sometimes, that we don't know it all, that we can learn something new from God by diving into His holy word? Or does our ego get in the way? Are we closed-minded to learn anything new? Verse 7 says this: "Wisdom is supreme get wisdom, though it cost all you have, get understanding. And my friends, this points us directly to Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 17, says this: He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ. There's no better teacher, no better model, no greater wisdom, no greater understanding than what we can get from Jesus Christ. Jesus came, he lived, he preached, he died for our sins. While he lived, he turned the teachings of the religious leaders upside down. And they were rigid, they were tight-fisted. They didn't want to hear his message, but that didn't stop him. He didn't align himself with the religious community of that time. He turned the whole world upside down, which leads us to life hack number 3. The wisdom of Jesus' words will give you lifelong learning. The wisdom of Jesus' words will give you lifelong learning. I love the way Jesus speaks in Luke. It's so beautifully spoken. Luke 21:15. Jesus says, I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. We can take his words, his model, his wisdom with us every day, all day, and none of our adversaries, nothing can contradict his solid truth of the gospel. We can take that to the bank, my friends, for sure. You know, I have to say that I am still hungry for the Word of God, and I am so blessed here to be able to get great wisdom from Pastor Jeff, who's got 30-something years of studying the Bible and being a pastor and imparting wisdom. I also gain wisdom from both Pastor Nick and Pastor Trevor. They might only be in their mid-30s, but these are wise men of God, and I learn something new from them every day. I learn from my own grandchildren simple statements that have a deep meaning. It doesn't have to be complicated. But the most wisdom I get is when I sit down and take the time and go to the Word of God and marinate on it, meditate on it, be in a Bible study with it. Something beyond the sermon on Sunday morning. That's when I get wisdom, deeper wisdom that I can take with me day in and day out. Now, with that said, Jesus knows, as we all do, that in this journey of life, none of us will take a path perfectly. We fail at times, don't we? Because we're human. I do. But he is so full of forgiveness. He gives us what we need on our journey toward that ultimate destination. We're just passing through. And our ultimate destination is to be with him and have that wisdom completely in heaven. As we come to the close of this passage, I have some questions for us to meditate on. Are we doing the same thing day in and day out in a loop like the 18-wheel trucker? Do we rely on the right source to get wisdom, or do we go to someone like the drifter, or to culture, or to our own wisdom to try to solve our own problems? Do we truly humble ourselves and stay teachable regardless of how much of the Bible or the truth of the gospel that we know? And finally, do we believe that God has something brand new that He wants to teach us every single day and all the days ahead? And do we stay hungry for it? Do we stay hungry for it? The choir sang Holy Manna as we began the service today. His word has a taste to it. His word, His living word, has a smell, a sweet smell to it. It's nourishing. Jesus said Himself, I am the bread of life. And no greater nourishment can we get than going straight to Him. Lord God, I thank You for Your living word. I thank You for this proverb that not only gives us wisdom, tells us to get it, to get understanding, to not forget it, to not get sidetracked from it. And it points us directly to You, Jesus. Open our hearts to apply this wisdom and let it be held on our hearts, Lord, so that we can retrieve it on a daily basis and stay on the path that You've set forth for us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, maybe you need to come to this altar. We had prayer time where it was open. It's open again. Maybe God is speaking to you, or you have something on your heart, not only for yourself, but a loved one. The altar is always open as an invitation at the end of this service. So let's sing, stand and sing, but also be in prayer as we sing for the Lord to teach us something new.